on the Apostle Paul. That again, it wasn't Paul that healed. It wasn't the handkerchiefs that healed. It was God that healed. But there was such an anointing upon Paul and the handkerchiefs that the anointing of God flowed through that and touched people, so that Paul was able to heal people even with a handkerchief. And let me say this. Now, you know, we just have these two verses, but I would have a tendency to say that every handkerchief that left Paul's body healed somebody.
Ed Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, part 2, from our series, The Names of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals.
And we can't say that all these handkerchiefs that people are sending out through the mail, we can't say that this all the oil and water that's going out through the mail is healing everybody. Because I'm sure that there are incidents where they're not being healed. But Paul, under the anointing of God, that when these handkerchiefs touched his body, that people got healed. And so this was a moving of God. This was a moving of the Spirit. But we see this same Paul, this same apostle, he, on one occasion, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, he said he left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Now, my question is, well, let me give you the other one. And Timothy has some stomach problems. And he told Timothy to take a little wine for your stomach's sake. So my question is that there was times that the anointing was on Paul, and even through handkerchiefs, he could heal people. But then on other occasions, he left Trophimus sick at Miletus, and he told Timothy, instead of getting a handkerchief and touching Timothy, he told him to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. So I think this proves the point, and some may argue with me, and you have every right to do that. But to me, this proves the point, is that there are times when it's God's will to heal somebody, and then there are times that it's not his will. Clearly, it was not his will. Now, I'm not saying that Trophimus and Timothy didn't eventually get healed, but I'm just saying at that time, it was not God's will for them to be healed. And so Paul is a perfect example that on one occasion, he had handkerchiefs that, you know, he was passing out, and they were taken to the sick people, and they got healed. And then we see two of his friends in the ministry that he was not able to heal them. So I'm not going to say that he wasn't able. I'm just going to say that he didn't heal them. So what is my point? My point is that there are times when God heals, and then there are times that he doesn't heal. And, you know, my brothers and sisters, we have to leave this in the sovereign hands of God, because God knows who he wants to heal. So that brings me to this, times when he doesn't heal, because that's what we want to know. You know, we know that he can heal. We know that he is a healer, but there are times when he doesn't heal. And I'm going to give you a couple reasons from the scripture as to times when he doesn't heal. Now, I want to say this. There might be more reasons than this, but these are some obvious ones that I see in the scripture. And well, there might be beyond this. God is God, and he does what he's going to do. And so he chooses who he's going to heal and who he's not going to heal. But we can look at some things that let us know that there are times that God does not heal, and we know the reason why he doesn't heal. The first thing is that when you have sin or unconfessed sin in your life, that the healing power of God might not rest upon you. Now, we have two scriptures there, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 28 through 30, and James 5, 16. In 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 30, Paul said that some were partaken of the Lord's Supper unworthily, and he said, because of this sin, that some of you are sick. Some people got sick because of sin in their life. And then some people get sick because of unconfessed sin. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, confess your faults to one another that you might be healed. And so sin and unconfessed sin will hold up our healing. So if we are in a state of not being healed and we are crying out to God, I'm not saying that you're in sin. So let me just say that, because I can hear somebody walking away from here and saying that, well, you know, if you're not getting healed, that you must be in sin. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm going to say that this is what I am saying, that if you are dealing with the fact that you are not getting healed, maybe you need to start by examining your life and asking the Lord, is there anything in my life that's keeping me from getting healed? Is there any sin in my life that's keeping me from getting healed? Is there any unconfessed sin in my life that's keeping me from getting healed? Now, again, let me say this, and let me be clear, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if you're sick, it's because of your sin. I'm saying that that is a reason why some people are sick. And so if we are looking for a reason why we're not getting healed, then maybe we need to start there by examining our lives and asking God, is there anything in my life that's blocking my healing? Is there anything in my life that's holding up my healing? That's one reason right there. A second reason that God does not heal. Now, I know, let me explain this, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. That's why I'm coming from behind the pulpit, because I want to get right in the camera and I want to say this. And sometimes as we read the Gospels, again, and people have used this as an excuse to condemn other people, to say this is why you're not getting healed. But this is a reason why people don't get healed, because they don't have the faith. They don't have the faith. In the Gospels, we see that on four occasions, and those scriptures are up there on the PowerPoint slide, that Jesus told somebody they either got healed because of their faith or they didn't get healed because of lack of faith. So definitely faith is involved here. Now, I'm not making a broad brush statement here this Sunday morning. I'm not saying that everybody who doesn't get healed lacks faith, because I know there have been some people, godly people, man, they could trust God to bring a mountain down. They had the faith to, and I've seen, they trusted God for great things, and I've seen that. And so, you know, there are people that have had the faith and they didn't get healed. So again, you know, I'm not saying that every person that doesn't get healed doesn't have the faith. That's not my point. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that sometimes when people don't get healed, it's because they don't have the faith. Now, that may not be you. You know, that may not be you who are dealing with that situation. So I don't want to throw you in there. See, and I'm taking a long time to break this down, because I can hear somebody saying, Pastor Glaze said, if you don't have faith, then you're not going to get healed. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's one of the reasons why people don't get healed. That might not be why you're not getting healed, but it clearly in the scripture, that is one of the reasons why people don't get healed. And I pray to God that if you are trusting God for healing, that's not your problem. That is not because you lack faith. I pray that you have all the faith in the world, so that's not an issue with you and God. And again, let me say this. I know some godly people who have had more faith than Abraham. They had more faith than Abraham, and they prayed and they didn't get healed. Like I said, I'm a pastor. I visit people in the hospital. Well, before COVID, you know, I was visiting people quite a bit in the hospital. Since the virus, you know, some hospitals you can't even go into to do a visit. But I know, I've seen people lie there on that hospital bed, and they got faith and they're trusting God, and they didn't get healed. And so a lack of faith was not the reason why they didn't get healed. So I want to make that very clear. I don't want anybody misquoting me or misunderstanding what I'm saying. What's a third reason? When God has a greater purpose, see, we don't want to hear this, right? We don't want to hear this. But sometimes God has a greater purpose that, you know, than healing you. Now, I look at the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he prayed on three occasions. He prayed three times that the Lord would remove his thorn in the flesh. And God didn't do it. And what was God doing? God was strengthening Paul. God was building Paul up. And God left that thorn in the flesh. God let Paul be sick because God was doing something greater in his life. You know, I think of a lady by the name of Joni Erickson Tada, and she was injured in a diving accident. And she prayed and asked God to heal her. She's a quadriplegic. She prayed and asked God to heal her. And God didn't heal her. He left her in that condition. And yet and still, she has had one of the most powerful testimonies of anybody that has walked across the face of this earth. That God has used her to in writing devotions, in speaking to people, in motivating people. And so even though she wanted the healing, God was doing something else in her life. And sometimes you might not get healed because God is doing something greater in your life. You know, we think that the healing would be the greater. But in God's economy, in God's plan, God has something greater for you, and he's going to use you beyond ways that you could not imagine. And sometimes, you know, we just want to get out of the sickness. You know, we want to get out of the illness. And God says, wait a minute. Look, I'm doing a far greater work than you can see right now. And so you have to be patient in the midst of this this sickness that you're going through, because I got you. I got your back. That's another reason why the Lord does not heal. And then we see sometimes God doesn't heal because he's waiting to get the glory out of the situation. I think of the man in John chapter 9 that Jesus healed. And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Master, who sinned that this man is blind? And Jesus said, let me read that. I like that. Again, that's all of the scriptures worth reading. But here goes one that's worth reading this morning. And Jesus passed by in John 9 in verse 1, and he saw a man who was born blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, that God might be glorified. The reason that this guy was blind and it had come to this point is because, now he had been blind, you know, as we read a little bit later, you know, he had been blind for a long time, right? He had been blind for a long time. And I'm sure maybe he asked throughout his lifetime, how come I'm not getting healed? How come I'm not getting my sight? And maybe he couldn't understand that. And then Jesus pops up and he comes along. And he said the reason that this man was sick, the reason that he was blind, was that God would be glorified. And so sometimes God doesn't heal when we want him to heal, because he wants to get the glory out of it. And then let me say this one, and I know that some of you are not going to like this, all right, but it's in the Bible. Sometimes God does not heal because he wants to take a person home to glory. Y'all think of David when he got sick. And, you know, David had to have people coming and minister to him. And then we read in the next chapter that David closed his eyes in death. And so sometimes God does not heal because it's his plan and it's his purpose to take a person home to be with him. You know, I think of the psalm that says, you know, in his, to be absent from the body, not the psalm, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so sometimes, as much as we want to hold on to a person, as much as we want to keep them here, sometimes God allows death to be that vehicle, or sickness and then death to be that vehicle that ushers them into the presence of the Lord. And I, like I said, we don't want to hear that one right there. You know, we don't want to hear that, but that is a fact. Sometimes sickness leads to death because God wants that person to come into his presence. Now, we might say, I know I say, well, that's kind of selfish of God, right? I want the person here with me. I want them with me, right? So, but again, God is sovereign. He does what he sees fit. And sometimes he thinks that it's best to bring the saints into his presence. So when we think about Yahweh Rapha and the times that he doesn't heal, you know, those are some things that we need to take into consideration. As I wind this message down, maybe you're dealing with illness, and we read about Yahweh Rapha, who is the God who heals. How do you pray to this God whenever you're sick? How do you pray to Yahweh Rapha? Now, I have the PowerPoint slides, and I have these points with the scripture, so you know you can see them. But the first thing that we need to realize when we are sick and how to pray, we need to pray for God's natural healing power to flow through us, right? That sometimes the body is just able to heal itself. And if we're sick, you know, we need to give the body what it needs and then just allow God's natural healing to flow in us. And that will bring us to a point of healing. How do you pray when you're sick? Pray that God would get the illness, get the glory out of your illness. Sometimes we get sick and we gripe, we moan, we complain, and God is not getting any glory out of that. But we need to go through our illness and trust God. And we need to go through our illness, and we need to hold to God's unchanging hand. And we need to go through our illness knowing that God can be glorified in it. When we go through our illness, it can either make us better or it can make us bitter. If we let it make us better, then God is going to get the glory out of it. You know, we talk about saving grace. Sometimes we need sickness grace. You know, we need grace to be able to deal with our sickness so that God can get the glory out of our sickness. Pray that you would learn any lessons that God is trying to teach you. If there's sickness in my life, what is God saying to me? I remember listening to Charles Stanley one time, and he said that God put him on his back because there was things that God could tell him that he couldn't tell him when he was up and around moving because he didn't take the time to listen. So we need to ask God that when we are laying on our back or when we are in our bed of affliction or when we are sick, we need to ask God, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to teach me? We need to pray for strength through the illness. We need to ask God to strengthen us, to be able to deal with the illness that we are going through. We need to pray that God would not allow us to become spiritually or emotionally weary. You know, sometimes people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? And sometimes the illness not only wears on your body, but it also wears on your spirit. It wears on your mind. It wears on your emotion. And so sometimes, you know, we have to pray and ask God that to keep us from becoming weary in the midst of being ill. You know, I've heard of even people that got sick and gave up on their faith, turned away from God, said that God is not able to help me. That's getting weary as a result of your sickness. And so we need to ask the Lord to keep us strong spiritually and emotionally when we get sick. Pray for the caregivers. You know, pray for the people that's taking care of you, those around you. You know, pray for the doctors, that they'll have knowledge to diagnose your illness and give you the right treatment. Pray for counselors, nurses, technicians, pastors, relatives, friends, all these people that will come around the person that's sick, and pray that God would use them in the recovery process, that God would use them in the healing process. As I close today, I heard the story about a young man who played football. Now, again, this is a story, so you know, this might not be a true story, but this is a story, right? But it's going to prove the point. There was a young man who played football, and he was on the second team, and he really didn't get a chance to play because he wasn't one of the best football players on the team. And so his dad passed away. And the coach thought that, well, you know, he's not even going to come. You know, his dad is, you know, has just died, so he's not even going to come to the game. The young man came to the game, and he got suited up. And coach was kind of feeling a little bit sorry for him, so he let him play a little bit more than he would have let him play. And this young man just stood out on the field. I mean, he was doing things that the coach didn't think he had any. And at the end of the game, the coach went up to him and said, you know, you've been on this team all this year, and you know, I've never seen this in you. I've never seen you play like this. You know, what was the difference? And the young man said, well, you know, coach, as you know, my father passed away, and my father was blind. So he could never see me play even if I did play. And I knew today that my father had received his sight and that he was looking down on me, and I wanted to do the best that I could. Now again, whether that's a true story or, as somebody said, a made-up story, there's a powerful point to the story, and that is when people go to heaven, they get healed. That when they go to heaven, there's no more sickness. That when they go to heaven, there's no more illness. And so we thank God for, as we talked about the ways that God heals, there's the preventative healing, there's the natural healing, there's the miraculous healing, but then there's the ultimate healing, that when we leave this life and we go to be with the Lord, that we will be healed.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Yahweh Nissi, the Lord, our banner, from our series, The Names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. And out of order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.